duty basketball, junior basketball, whatever. But Abby's team is playing. They played 3 games yesterday, and Abby and Lindsay. She's already gone. But they're playing. They played 3 games yesterday, and they're playing again today, and they're finding out that, man, basketball is physical. So I wore my purple shirt because it's the only time I'll ever root for Mount Gilead. As long as you don't play Northmore today, I'm rooting for your team. Okay? And I know, is Kyle playing today as well, Ian? They're done. I know Jackson's playing today. So just pray for travels for everyone. And thanks, Abby. Good luck. You know, somebody said, well, that's a preaching shirt. Yeah, but today it's the purple shirt. The one time I'll fess up to rooting for Mount Gilead. So, you know what? Let's pray before we get started. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you today, and we just thank you for everyone here, and we ask your hand and your blessing on those that could not make it today. But, Lord, just take me and move me out of the way, and just use my mouth to have the message that you want to have instilled to everyone here, Lord. In your name we pray, amen. So, did everybody have a good week? Big Valentine's week, right? Not a big fan of the holiday. And after I bought a Valentine's card, I now remember why I'm not a big fan of the holiday. $7 for a Hallmark card. Hang on. Yeah. I know. But quite honestly, I forgot why I was at Dollar General to get the dollar card, so I had to pay premium price. But, you know, and I'm a loyal supporter of the Hallmark Channel. I watch it pretty much all the time. God had me going 2 different directions. Tuesday, I'll just give you forewarning, this one's coming. He said, man, I want you to preach on tithing. And I was like, oh, Lord, I don't want to go there yet. You know, I just don't want to go there. So that is coming. I'm not going to tell you when it is, because if I tell you the next time I preach, that's what the message is going to be. Nobody will be here. All right? So that's coming. I'm not sure when, but it is coming. Today, I'm going to talk about love. And I'm going to date myself. There was a song, I think it was when I was growing up, maybe when I was a little bit older. But what's love got to do with it? I couldn't tell you who sings it. Doug, do you know who sings it? One of the music people. Who? Tina Turner. I'm not going to try to sing it. Nope. Because I'm going to change it. I'm going to say, what's love got to do with it? Okay? So we're going to start. And we're going to talk real brief. We're going to go to, I didn't mark this one, but we're going to go to 2 Samuel chapter 11. And you're going to think I'm strange because I'm talking about some pretty bad sins and talking about love. This is just a precursor because I want you to get what I'm trying to say. We all know, David, we had Bible school a few years back, and it was, it's been a lot of years back, but David, a man after God's own heart, okay? And God empowered David. Remember, he's the guy that beat Goliath. He's the guy that became a king, and he had riches beyond belief. Well, we're going to talk about a time today when David wasn't quite the dude we thought he was. It's entitled David and Bathsheba. In the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. They destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah. But David remained in Jerusalem. One evening, David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of the palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful, and David sent someone to find out about her. The man said, "She is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite." Then David sent messengers to get her. She came with him and slept with her. Then she went back home. The woman conceived and sent word to David, saying, "I am pregnant." So David sent this word to Joab, "Send me Uriah the Hittite." And Joab sent him to David. When Uriah came home to him, David asked him how Joab was, how the soldiers were, and how the war was going. Then David said to Uriah, "Go down to your house and wash your feet." So Uriah left the palace, and a gift from the king was sent after him. But Uriah slept at the entrance to the palace with all his master's servants and did not go to his house. David was told Uriah did not go home. So he asked Uriah, "Have you not come from a military campaign? Why didn't you go home?" Uriah said to David, The ark and Israel and Judah are staying in tents, and my commander Joab and my lord's men are camped in the open country. How could I go to my house and eat and drink and make love to my wife? As surely you will live, I will not do such a thing." Then David said to him, "Stay here one more day, and tomorrow I will send you back." So Uriah remained in Jerusalem that day and the next. At David's invitation, he ate and drank with him, and David made him drunk. But in the evening, Uriah went out to sleep on his mat among his master's servants. He did not go home. In the morning, David read a letter to Joab and sent it with Uriah. In it he wrote, "Put Uriah out in the front where the fighting is fiercest. Then withdraw from him so he will be struck down and die." So here's what I want you to take. This is David. He was pretty high up there, right? God had taken care of him the whole way. He committed a sin. He had another man's wife, and she became a child. So then, to fix it, David became sneaky and tried to get Uriah home. God's plan, Uriah understood, and he's like, "No, I have loyalty and love to my army and my men that are out there fighting. I'm not going to sleep with my wife. I'm not going home. I'm staying right here. I am your servant." So I imagine David was probably pretty upset about that, right? So a couple days go by. David sends him back to the front with a note. In my mind, I'm thinking, man, why did Uriah not read that note? Wasn't he concerned what he was sending back to Joab? But it had the king's seal, I'm sure, so he knew he wasn't going to mess with it. But Uriah ends up dying. David ends up marrying Bathsheba. God's love stayed with David. I mean, that's incredible. So if you think God can't love you through a situation, you're wrong. You're wrong. Okay? I didn't want to focus on that. I just want to touch on it. We are actually going to go. I'll give you some time here in a minute. So what's love God to do with it? How do we win our friends, family, neighbors, acquaintances to the Lord? It will not happen by telling them what they need to do differently, but by doing what Jesus said to do: love others as well as you love yourself. Okay, love is a powerful, powerful four-letter word. We're going to turn to 1 John 4, chapter 4. But I just want to think about Valentine's Day, and I think the principle of it's good, but I think we've commercialized it like we do everything else. You know, Chris told me before I left, or mail wasn't even before I left, it was a couple days before Valentine's Day, "You need to get the girls some flowers." And I'm like, that's kind of weird. But you know, it dawned on me that I don't know that I've ever gotten my daughters flowers for Valentine's Day. And I thought, what kind of dad are you, Matt? So I got flowers. Chris and I had vowed to not get anything because we... We got a new mattress, so Valentine's Day for me was, man, I got to sleep comfortably, right? So, but while I was there getting flowers, I was like, gosh, I can't go home with three sets of flowers and not get Chris some flowers. So I got Chris some flowers and a $7.84 card. And not because I'm great, because, but those are people that I earthly love, right? I love them. I lay down my life for them. And sometimes it's not easy to love Matt because Matt does some silly, silly things. But she loves me anyway, so that's cool. My kids have to love me because I pay the bills still. Right? So, yeah, it's kind of cool to see everything. But that hit me pretty hard that I had never, other than maybe for like graduations or Honor Society, whatever, or last basketball game, I don't think I've ever bought my kids flowers. That kind of hit me. So I did that, number one, because I was told to do it, but number two, because by the end of it, I really do love those kids, even in their times of not so lovable, because they're just like me. They're just like you. We all have times we're not so lovable, but guess what? God doesn't care. He loves you anyway. It's pretty cool. 1 John chapter 4. We're going to read 7 through 12. It says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought also love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us." So, don't love one another because you're supposed to. Love one another because God is complete. His love becomes complete. Makes us complete. Unconditional love. Right? We have love, like I love bacon. And then we have unconditional love. Right? Unconditional love, you're going to lay down your life for that person, or that thing, or that whatever. Hopefully there's not too many unconditional loves of things. But it comes only, true unconditional love only comes from the God that loves us. Because people are going to fail us. People are going to fail us. And I know I've used it before, you know, sports figures or elected officials. I mean, they're going to fail. They're going to fail. There's only one that's not going to fail. You know, my wife doesn't fail very often. I fail most of the time. Okay? My kids fail a lot. But we have to learn from our mistakes. We have to learn from our failures. And we have to understand that even in our failures, even in our shortcomings, the God of all earth, all humankind, still loves us. And we can't screw that up. It's unconditional love. We try to screw it up. We try not to screw it up, which ends up making us screw it up. Right? We give reasons why God shouldn't love us. I'm here to tell you guys, he's not going to turn his back on you. He loves you unconditionally. Even when you have a David moment, and you commit sin. I would go on a limb and say, especially when you have your David moments, God's love is going to show up. Right? So does anybody here have a feeling that something's missing in their lives? Have you ever had that feeling? I think if we're honest with ourselves, we've all had that feeling from time to time. And what do? We try to fill it with things, people, busyness, right? What happens? The things rust. The things go away. The things deteriorate. People do things to make us angry. They do us wrong. But even if we have all that love for everything here, but we don't have the love for God, we still have that empty feeling. And I've been there. I've been there. I go there. Because sometimes I forget how much God loves me. But He brings me back. He brings me back. And again, I know I've said it before, I usually don't get the, hey, come on back. I usually get the, bam, come back. Right? That's me. So, here's the good news. God doesn't love us for who we are. Rather, He loves us because who He is. Alright? If I love somebody here on earth for who they are, guess what? They could change. You know, when you're dating, and I use this because I have three daughters that will date, two that currently date, one that is softball crazy, so she doesn't date. And I thank goodness for that. Alright? But as you're dating, do you always see the true side of that person? Or do we put on that facade as we're dating because we're trying so hard to make that person love us? I hope, and I've prayed this for my daughters. Chris prays it every day for our daughters, that they find someone that appreciates them and loves them for who they are. Now, in order for that person to love them for who they are, they have to feel comfortable and love that person enough to be who they are. Because what will happen, we don't know who that person is, we're dating, we marry, and we see the true side of that person, and it's like, right? Guys, I'm telling you, God loves you who you are because of who He is. No other reason. God is love. That's pretty cool when you think about it. Because, guys, we are never going to be worthy of God's love. We're not. We're dirty. Actually, one thing I read this week said, even on our best day, we look filthy compared to God's love. And I thought about that. And I seem filthy. You know, I have a barn full of sheep. And man, this snow and melt and ice and melt and rain and melt. And my barn is filthy. And I got baby lambs and they are filthy. And I don't care how much straw we put down. I put down so much straw, the one gate doesn't even open. It's still filthy. So that made me think, what does my life look like to God? And it's filthy. Filthy. In comparison to His love. But He loves me anyway. That's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. Here's another thing I want you to think about. Unlike our love for people, God loves us even knowing who we were before he knew us, or we knew him. That's pretty cool. And yet, he loves us anyway. Now, here's what I want you to take this too. What his love does for us makes all the other promises he makes possible. And Matt and I kind of talked about it. It's kind of cool how they talked about this in Sunday school. Matt wanted to do a devotion, not knowing what I was speaking about, well, kind of knowing. And it talked about love. And now we're going to talk about his love for us is what makes his grace for us possible. Guys, the grace. You know, we have love for people, but there's sometimes we just can't forgive somebody. There's sometimes we're not going to go back for somebody. Guess what? Because God is a God of grace and a God of forgiveness, every day he goes to bat for us. Every day he loves us the same as he did yesterday. Even when we don't deserve it, which is most of the time. Which is all the time. The previous thing I said was, even on our best day, we are filthy to God. Okay? Or comparative to God's love. All right, we're going to turn to Romans. And we're going to be in Romans the rest of the message here. We're going to be in Romans chapter 8. And I'll give you time to get there. We'll start in 37. Now, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height or depth, or anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So I want you to understand, everywhere you go, he's waiting for you. He is waiting for us to arrive. And we use it as, okay, God's, if you don't have that relationship with him now, he is waiting for you. But I'm telling you, it goes further than just a relationship. He is out there everywhere we go. But sometimes we don't see him. Because we don't look. Right? And you know, I'm the type of dude that... Well, I'll share a story real quick. Carter Lumber, last Saturday, Chris and I went. We were getting some work done on the house. And we went, and the guy we needed to talk to, we found out, doesn't work on Saturdays. So, okay, whatever. So I called him through the week and set up a time yesterday, 8 o'clock in the morning, because I thought, well, we'll get there, we'll get it, because I know he's coming in on his day off, so we'll get him there, we'll do our stuff, and then he can enjoy the rest of his day, we can enjoy the rest of our day. Well, guess who was late? Me. We showed up at 20 after 8. And I thought, man, I hope he didn't leave. Because I don't know how well you know me, but I'm not very handy. This guy's telling me stuff, and I'm like, oh, well, I didn't think of that, right? But my point to that is, God's there. Are we going to show up? And I wondered if that guy thought, man, are they not coming? Luckily, he had a stack of papers, I don't know, pretty high that he was working on his computer on, so he was still there, and he acted like he was happy to see us, so I took that as okay. But then I thought, well, God does the same thing. He is there waiting for me to raise my hands to Him and say, God, you have it. You have it. Guys, sometimes we try to shoulder all this junk. God wants it. He loves you unconditionally, and He wants to take all your junk. Now, He may not always fix it the way you want it to be fixed, but He's going to take care of it. And it may not happen today like we always want it to happen, but He's going to take care of it. And I know a lot of us have situations we're going through. Guys, I challenge you, just give it to Him, because He'll take care of it. He'll take care of it. And that's His grace. He will always, always hear. He already knows what's going on, but He'll always hear your cries. And His genuine love for us, He's not going to put us in situations that are unpassable, for the right word. He, when we turn it over to Him, He is going to take care of it. He is still going to give you growing pains. You know what? If you're not going through something right now, you need to ask yourself why. I like it when things are rainbows and unicorns, okay? But then I think, man, am I growing? Am I growing? So if you're going through something, be thankful about it. Huh? No thanks. Be thankful about it, because God is growing you, God is pushing you, and He's right there beside you the whole time. That's the beauty of it. He is right there beside you the whole time, everything you're going through. Here's something to think about. Do you know that God knows how we're going to respond in every situation we're in before the situation happens? That blows my mind. So God already knows how my week's going to go this week, and how I'm going to probably fly off the handle, and how I'm probably going to, from time to time, not do what a Christian should do, and then I'm going to have to turn around and say, God, I blew it. And then His grace is going to cover me. And He's going to teach me a lesson. He's going to refocus me. That's pretty cool that He knows how we'll respond before it even happened. And here's another blurb I read or found this week. God hates the sin, but loves the sinner. Amen. Because, guys, I've said it before, this message is probably not for you guys. It's probably for me. God hates the sin, but loves the sinner. You know what that's called? Grace. Because of His grace, He can love us. Because understand something, guys. We were in that crowd that put Him on the cross. We were in that crowd that called for Barabbas to be free. We were in that crowd that watched Jesus be beaten and watched Him walk with a heavy cross after He was beaten and a crown of thorns placed on His head so deep that he bled. This guy had very little blood left by the time he was crucified. He did that to cover our sins. Now, if you can hear that and not believe in our God, whew, I don't know. But you know what? God knows. And God knows who is or is not believing. And He's going to keep working. He's going to keep putting you in situations. And eventually you're going to know God. And you're going to come to God, and you're going to fall down, and you're going to say, God, just take this stuff. I don't need it. I don't want it. Just take it and let me live for you. And that is a powerful moment in everybody's lives. Now I'm going to take this to church. Huh. Because when a group of sinner people get together every Sunday, how does church look? Now, from a leadership standpoint, I'll tell you right that I think our church is growing spiritually. You know, I don't know if we're going to have money to hire a full-time pastor. I hope we do someday. But I think our church is growing spiritually. I've seen love at this church over the last 2 years that I didn't know was still here. Okay? And that's not because of anything that the leaders have done. That's not because of anything that I, Matt, whoever, Doug, anybody has done. It's because of God's love and God's grace. So, as a church, we should be out there showing God's love. Not trying to change people, not telling people how to do things differently, not banging people's head with the Bible. Show God's love. Love everyone as you love yourself. If we can do that as a church, we're not going to need any money. We don't need any money. God provides it all. He's given us everything we need. And He's going to continue to give us everything we need as long as we're following Him. And I can tell you, even though sometimes it may not seem like it, the leaders of this church, we are following what God wants. And I know you say, I know God wants us to have a preacher. I get that. Because there's days I don't want to be up here preaching. But God's timing is perfect. God's plan is perfect. We are flawed. He is perfect. So I'm going to end with Romans chapter 5. And we're going to read we're going to read 6 to 11. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person. Though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through this life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. What do I want you to take out of that passage? I want you to take that Jesus died thinking about our sins. You don't think as we start our relationship with Him, with God, that their love for us is much more than when He died on the cross? And how can you imagine more love than when He died on the cross? Because I can't imagine that. And it says, for good people you may die. Understand, you know, it goes back to the whole, you don't go to the hospital if you're sick. right? Guys, we don't come to church because we're perfectly healthy Christians. We come to church because we're broken sinners that know we need God's grace. And He died for us broken sinners. That's why when somebody comes to the Lord, you know, Matt said it before, the heavens rejoice. Do we understand what it means for the heavens to rejoice? I don't know how many people are in heaven. A bunch. Now, can you imagine, and I'll translate this into sports. You know, we Northmore played Highland the other night, and Highland was like 9-1 in the league, and our boys are like, I don't know, 5-5 or something like that. Northmore beat Highland, and you would not have believed the Northmore crowd how loud it got when that buzzer went off. Now imagine when the heavens rejoice. I want to be there. I will be there. Not because of who I am, but because of what God does for me and who He is. So when you leave here, you know, we should strive to live more like God. That's our goal. When we start that relationship with Him, people should see a change in our lives. Okay? But guess what? We're still going to fall. We're still going to fail. Do not beat yourself up when you fail. Turn it over to God and let it go. Because we are going to fall short. I fall short every single day in one way or another. Whether I'm not a good husband, I'm not a good father, I'm not a good Christian, I fall short. Okay? Man, get your forgiveness and move on. Do not continue to beat yourself up over something that happened in the past. Because guess what? God knew about it before it happened. God knows about it now. And God has wiped your slate clean through His blood. And that's pretty cool. Now, that's not a free pass. It's not a free pass. We can't go live like heathens. Because then we're going to get that 2x4 again. Okay? But understand that we're all going to fail. We're all going to fall short of the glory. There's no way we can compare to that. He died for us as sinners. He lost all His blood for us when we were sinners. And He thought about each sin I was going to commit 2,000 years ago while He's hanging on that cross. That blows my mind. The whole Christian, and some people say, oh, it's a neat story. Listen, there is way too much of that, of Him, for it to be a story. And I can find stuff in the Old Testament that led to what was going to happen. Those guys knew it years and years and years before Jesus came. They had some goofy rules. They had some very strict rules. The one that sticks out in my mind is when they're being told how to build the temple. It was exact. You had to be exact. Whatever it was, 9.3 cubits or whatever the number was. And it told them exactly. But guys, they fell short too. They fell short. You know, when the Israelites came out of slavery, they were in slavery for a long time. They came out of slavery, saw all these miracles happen, but it didn't happen to their people. And as they were walking away from Egypt, I can put myself there. Because I should be rejoicing what God has done. But instead, I'm bellyaching about how hard my life is. Oh, the Egyptians are coming after us. Moses, what are we going to do? Moses said, I'm going to put my staff in the water. God's going to part the seas. And he did. And it was dry ground they ran across on. When you see stuff happen in your life, and we all do it. How can we then not believe and want a relationship with that God? So I want you to take from this, guys, God loves you. He loves each and every person. He knows the hairs on our head. Me, it's about 10. Some of you have more hair. But God knows every intricate detail about Matt, about Levi, about Tim, about Norm, about all of us. I'm a mathematician, but I don't even want to try to figure that math out. If we believe God knows all that, I don't know how we can't believe that God can take care of a few of our troubles and that He loves us. I couldn't tell you how many hairs Chris has on her head, but I can tell you that I laid down my life for that woman. I'll run in front of a car. No doubt in my mind. God loves us all that way. He laid down, He gave His Son to die on a cross for each and every person here and out there. Our job is to get that story, that love, that grace out to the world. And I shared the David story just because I wanted you to see that one of the people in good standing with God failed miserably. God should have struck him down. But He said, hey, you know what? Those sins are forgiven. They're covered. So, because of His love, He wants a relationship with you. Because of that relationship with Him, and because of who He is, we have the peace of mind knowing at the end of our lives where we're going to spend eternity, rejoicing with the heavens. And I can't imagine what it's going to be like. You know, I can't tell you that I want to go there today because I don't. you know, God's given me a pretty good perspective or a new perspective on it, and I think He's got some things to do with me yet, and I'm not sure what they are. But, you know, I go back to that doctor's appointment when they're like, hey, you have stroke symptoms? Nope. But you should be. I can tell you why. Because of Him. And I was joking with Matt, you know, I have a weight on my driver's license, and it's from about, I don't know, probably 25 years ago. Guys, I'm within 8 pounds of that, and that's not because of anything I did. It's because God woke me up, and God is guiding me through it. And He's put people in my life that are going through it with me. There's going to be hard times. I know that. But I think now that I've changed some of the habits I have and some of the things God has shown me, He's got something to do with me, and I'm not sure what it is. And that scares me. But I know that, well, I hope that I'm not going to die tomorrow. Because God's put too much investment into this now. He's got something to use me for. And He has something to use every one of us for. You know, this preaching thing is been great for me because it's helped me grow. It's not for everybody. You know, if you're not feeling led to do it, by all means, you don't want to do it. But understand that God's leading you to do something. And He's going to love you and cover you with His grace to get you through that. So as we close up and we're going to sing a song. Matt and I will be here. I got told Matt's not singing this last song, so I'm going to use him up front. Matt and I will be here. If you need prayer for anything, if you want to turn something over today, today's the day to do it, guys. Don't wait. Today is the day to do it. We will pray, and then we'll sing, and then if you have any needs, please come forward. Heavenly Father, we just thank You for Your love and Your grace, Lord. We are imperfect. We are filthy people. But You love us anyway. Lord, let us go out this week and just show Your love through us so that we can bring more people to You and get that understanding that we all, none of us, deserve Your love and Your grace. But You give it to us anyway because of who You are. In Your name we pray. Amen.